Good morning. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Sunday worship. I'll give you just a minute for everyone to get in their places and be seated. It's time to begin our Sunday worship. The psalmist once said, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." What a blessing we have as the Lord's church to meet on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, and to worship Him. And we'd like to take this opportunity to welcome all of you to our service this morning, especially if you're visiting with us, and some of you are. There's an attendance card in the back of the pew in front of you, and we'd like to ask visitors and members, if you will, to complete one of those so we'll have a record of your attendance. There are no opening announcements on the sheet this morning. It says number one, and it's blank. So I will add one. I don't know if you had a chance to look into the fellowship hall. We have new floors in there, and they are beautiful. Looks really nice. And I would like to thank the 10 hardworking men and women who came at 5:30 last evening to help put everything back after the floors were completed. 8 men, 2 women, and I think the women probably did more work than the 8 men combined. But we got it all back together, and it does look good. If you haven't seen it, please take a moment to look at it before you leave today. Again, welcome to our worship service. Let's go to our Father in prayer as we begin. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we humbly approach You, Lord, thanking You for being our God. We thank You for the beautiful, cool fall morning that we have to worship You. Lord, it's such a blessing to be able to worship You at every opportunity. Father, we thank You for being our God, for creating us, for sustaining us, for providing for us. And we thank You, Father, especially for sending Your Son and for saving us if we obey Your will. Father, help us to reflect that in our worship this morning. Help us to reflect that in our lives. And help us to know, to be still and know that You are God. And Father, again, we thank You for Jesus, and we pray that You would bless us as we worship You this morning. And it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen.
I wanted to just take a quick second to thank Neil for leading last Sunday, and for our AV crew guys, Jimmy, Carl, and Jackie, for keeping everything running smooth while I was out. And it's good to be back.
Come down.
Give that to you, so pay for me. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine.
Our scripture this reading this morning is Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 18. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe, as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me.
There's someone here this morning. Isn't it good to be a Christian?
Amen.
I was at the drive-thru at the bank, and I sent my deposit in, and the girl came on the screen and said, I'll get that right to you, and left my window down, and a bee came in my truck, and it was flying around, right around my head, and so the old martial arts stuff came out, and I'm bobbing and weaving and throwing my hands around. And then I look on the screen, and she's back up watching me. And I'm thinking, I calmed down and said, I waved and said, and she's giving me that look like there's medication for that. And I said, a bee got in my truck, and she was like, okay, that's your story? Okay. I don't think she bought it at all. And so I got my deposit, and the bee lands up right on my steering wheel. And so I'm looking for something to smash it with, and then I turn, and it's gone. And then I feel it right in my hair. And so I swat it out, and it flies away, and I roll up the window, and I'm driving because I didn't want to go through Santa Fe doing this while people are watching me drive. But the moral of this story is, people are always watching. People are watching. I was responding and reacting to something I thought in the privacy of my own truck cab, and she was watching. People see what we do. And that's important to God. He wants people to see who we are. He doesn't want them to see our sin. He wants them to see our light. He wants them to see our salt. He wants them to see us reflect the sun. He wants to see us be like Jesus. And we have to remember that people are watching us, and what kind of influence are we being on them? There's a little Peanut cartoon strip of Peppermint Patty and Charlie Brown, and Peppermint Patty says, Chuck, it was the first day of school. I got sent down to the principal's office, and it's your fault. And Charlie Brown says, why is it my fault? why is everything my fault? And Peppermint Patty said, you're my friend, aren't you? You should be a better influence. In this text we're looking at this morning, it's about our influence. We know we're the light of the world. We know we're the salt of the earth. We know that we're supposed to adorn the doctrine of Christ. We know we're supposed to influence people in the world for good. We know, like the song says, we're supposed to let our light shine. But how do we do that? And Paul, in some very practical terms, helps us focus on shining our light and making a difference, making an impact, making a footprint, having a legacy that influences the world in the right way. In chapter 5 of the book of Matthew, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. I want to live a life that glorifies God. I want to live a life that changes people. We live in a community where this church needs to be light and salt in this community. We prayed those prayers when the school shooting happened. We prayed that prayer. When Harvey happened, we asked to be salt and light in people's lives. We should be busy about doing that. But how do we do that? We're going to look this morning at three actions to leave a joyful footprint on those around us. By showing our light, and Paul's going to help them focus on being willing, being sacrificial, and being cheerful. And then shine your light by being blameless, without blemish in this world. And then share your light, holding to the word of life and holding it forth for the world to see. So first of all, show your light. We are the light of the world. A city on a hill can't be hidden unless you turn all the lights out. And it's nighttime, and it's hidden. Don't put your light under a bushel. Don't let Satan it out. Show your light. Let the world see what's special about you. And I believe you do that by reflecting the sun. Deny yourself. Take up your cross daily and follow Jesus. Be a disciple of Jesus. But first of all, Paul in this text is going to tell them, be willing to serve. Don't be resistant. Do not do all things without complaining and disputing. The New King James says. The NIV says, do everything without grumbling or arguing. Some versions say, don't murmur. So the idea here is, there's an attitude in us sometimes where we murmur and we complain and we're not content. We don't like where we're at, but it's not necessarily understandable to everybody yet. We haven't really let it affect a lot of our words to where it's obvious, but they can tell just by our demeanor and our tone what's going on inside of us. Murmuring. I was trying to think of what cartoon character would be an example of murmuring. Just this, blah, 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 you know. What cartoon character? And I found a montage of Bugs Bunny and Yosemite Sam. And when Yosemite Sam has a temper fit, he's all blah, 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 you know. And you can tell he's not happy, he's mad, and Bugs Bunny's always tricking him. Must be a frustrating experience. But when we get frustrated and we're discontent and things don't go the way we want to, sometimes we get in that mode where we're just blah, 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 blah. And Paul is saying the world doesn't need to see that. When you do that, you're turning your lights off. You're not being a light for Christ. You're dimming your lights. Show your light. Don't dim your lights. Show your light. Well, some people say, well, I come to church and I'm going to let my light shine. Everybody else's lights are shining. That's like shining a flashlight in the daytime. Doesn't do a whole lot of good, right? He needs us to shine our light in the world. People need to see who we are. Well, how do you do that? Well, I'll be a good person. Well, there's more to that. That's what Paul is driving at for the Philippians. He wants them to make a mark. Don't grumble or dispute or argue. You can go from an attitude that's discontent to saying things and being rebellious and insubordinate. And you want your way, you don't want God's way. Sometimes we might not like where we're at. Do we murmur and complain? And if we do that in front of the world, we're not shining our light for Jesus, we're dimming our light. Little girl was at the breakfast table. Her mom had made eggs and toast and coffee, and everything was set. And the father said the prayer, thanking God for all the stuff that was there, for the coffee and the eggs and everything. And then they began to eat, and he began to start complaining. The eggs are too runny. The toast wasn't crisp enough. And so the little girl said, Dad, when you were praying the prayer, were you thankful for all the things you prayed for? And he said, yes. And when you were complaining about the eggs and the toast, and then she said, well, which is true? We can act like Christians, but if we complain and dispute and argue and don't like where we're at, what does that do to our life? Which one is the world going to believe? Well, sadly, they're going to believe the grumbling and complaining and the murmuring part. In the Bible, the Israelites stand out and illuminate the danger of complaining and arguing and disputing. Because God had taken them out of Egypt. He was taking them to the promised land, but they did not like the way things were. They would rather go back to Egypt and have food in their pots than be out where they're at. And God needed them to trust Him, depend on Him. When you grumble and you complain and you dispute, you're telling God you're not good enough. You're not doing a good enough job. I want to go back to where I was. I don't like the way things are. And guess what? When you do that, you're going to have all kinds of spiritual problems. And in Exodus and Numbers, we have stories when they grumbled and complained, God didn't tolerate it. Earth opens up and swallows them. All bad things happen. Let's look at just a couple of those verses. In Exodus chapter 16, then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat and we ate the bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill us, to kill this whole assembly with hunger. So, wah, wah, wah. They're complaining about their hunger, and they're not trusting in God to take care of it. And God did not like that. In Psalm 106:24-26, then they despised the pleasant land and did not believe His word. So when you start grumbling and complaining, it's usually happening because of your faith, and that faith has drifted away from where it needs to be. But they complained in their tents and did not heed the voice of the Lord. Therefore, He raised His hand in an oath against them to overthrow them in the wilderness. And then Paul writes about it in Corinthians. These are different occasions, but he says, nor complain as some of them did, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Is complaining, disputing, saying to God, I don't like this, I'm discontent, why couldn't you have done a better job on this situation? Is that a sin? Yes. It shows our lack of faith. It's not a good look to complain. I remember at Camp Blue Haven up in Las Vegas Mountains, they had in the kitchen, it said, you know, do all things without grumbling and complaining. We don't have to, we get to. You know, so they were sending a message, when you're doing KP duty in the kitchen and you're complaining about that, change your attitude, right? It's an attitude that the world will pick up on. If the world sees us complaining, we're dimming our lights. Are they going to be attracted to it? We're supposed to live a life that adorns the doctrine of Christ. But he continues, we're going to skip over to 17 and 18, because he's still talking about these are things that dim your lights. When you're not living sacrificially and when you're not being cheerful. Yes, and if I'm being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you for the same reason. You too should be glad and rejoice with me. He's saying, look, the Philippians, you Philippians, are sacrificing your lives for Jesus. I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, Romans 12, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. Don't conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. They were living sacrificial lives for Jesus. And Paul says, I'm like a drink offering. Often in the Old Testament, there are offerings that were made, and a drink offering was poured on top of it. He's saying, look, I'm about to die. If I die, my sacrifice is going to be poured on your sacrifice, and I'm glad that my sacrifice is being made for Christ, and I'm glad your sacrifice is being made for Christ, and I'm cheerful. And the message to us is, if our lights are going to shine, we've got to live sacrificially. You can't live for yourself, you've got to live for Christ. You have to be a living sacrifice. You're not dead, you're alive, but your spirit's dead. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. I don't live for my own will, I live for His. Christ died so that we will not live for ourselves, but for Him who died for us and is risen. 2 Corinthians 5:15. So, you've got to be willing to serve God, not resistant. You've got to be sacrificial and cheerful. Be glad and rejoice. People should see us with a different spirit. It doesn't mean that everything is going okay every minute of our lives, but we respond with gladness and rejoicing because of who we are and who we belong to. And that makes an impact on the world. They see us differently. When I was at Lubbock Christian, we used to go play basketball sometimes at Texas Tech. And when we were playing with those guys, many of them were not Christians. They used bad language. They did a lot of things that they talked about things that they probably shouldn't have been talking about. And we show up and we're Christians. And we didn't cuss. We called fouls on ourselves. We were different. And sometimes they would ask, why are y'all like that? Why are y'all weird? And then we would have a chance to witness. And some of them even became Christians because we were different. God wants to use that. It's powerful. Then he says, shine your light, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine out as lights in the world. Now, biblically, most of the time, these kind of lights are used. It's talking about a luminary lights like stars that shine in the universe. When I was a teenager, I read this verse and I went out and looked at the nighttime sky, and I knew that there were stars up there that were so far away that I couldn't see. And there were stars that were blinking on and off, and there were stars that were shining bright. In my simple teenage mind, I knew what kind of star God wanted me to be. Not one that's hidden in the darkness, not one that's going on and off, but one that is shining brightly. And he says, so don't argue and complain. Be willing to serve God with that kind of spirit. And be cheerful, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault. Blameless and harmless children without fault. It means above reproach. People can look in your life like they looked in Daniel's life and they tried to find something wrong and they couldn't. Can you imagine somebody coming in your life, going through all your stuff in your house, looking at everything you do every day in your life? Could they find things wrong? They looked in David's life and they couldn't find anything wrong. He was blameless. He was above reproach. He was innocent. That's what God wants us to be. Well, I'm no saint. Well, you're called to be a saint. And guess who can make the difference in you? And when you wonder, how can I shine brightly? Reflect the light of the S-O-N. Reflect the light of the sun. Shine out as stars in the universe, bright lights in the universe. The darker the blackness, the brighter the light shines. That's what He wants us to do. How do we do that? Well, you got to be blameless. You got to be innocent. You have to be above reproach. You have to control your attitudes. Don't be grumbling and complaining. Be willing to serve God with a rejoicing, joyful spirit. And then He shows us what the world is like. Too many of us think that the world is just grand. He gives us a clear picture of what the world is like. He says, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, what's the world like? Oh, the world's great. Crooked and perverse. Is that great? We live in a wicked world. We live in an evil world. We live in an all moral world. He says, crooked. You know what the Greek word? Where we get our word scoliosis from that word. If somebody's spine is crooked and it can't bear weight right, that's not a good thing. And guess what? The world can't bear the weight of life. But God's people can. Christians can. We can shine out as an example to the world and say, you don't have to be crushed by life. But they're contorted and they're perverse, which means twisted. We live in a twisted world. Why do we go to the world for advice? Why do we go to the world and think we want to be like the world? It's crooked. It's perverse. It's not good. Stay away from the world. There's another kingdom God has for you. It's Christ's kingdom. It's straight. It's perfect. It's not perverse. It's righteous. I was opening up some, I use Gatorade and Propel, different electrolyte stuff because I run all the time. So I opened up a box and I was pulling them out. I put them in a drawer and most of them were just straight as can be. But a couple of them, I guess, got shoved down in there and they were all twisted up and contorted. That's our world. And our world needs influence. Our world needs light. Our world needs our presence. Our world needs us to show them Jesus. And Jesus is counting on you and me to be who we are in the world. If you come to church and you look good, you smell good, you sing good, everybody thinks you're good, and you go out and you live the way you want to the rest of the time, you're not shining for Jesus. Shine your light. And finally, share your light. Holding fast the word of life so that you may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Paul says, I'm working to make you the best you can be, and I don't want this to be in vain. I don't want it to be a lost cause. So you need to hold fast to the word of life. Some translations say holding forth the word of life. I think both things are communicated and both things are biblical. We're to hold fast to the word of life. What is that? To God's word. Hold fast to it. And hold it forth. Because if you hold fast to it, you're going to share it. If you hold fast to God's word, if you read this scripture, you look at the New Testament teachings about what a Christian is, you're going to be a person that shares your faith with other people and you hold that light out. And if you're holding the light out and you're not holding fast to the word of God, you're not going to be the witness that God wants you to be. And people aren't going to believe what you say because your life isn't consistent with what you So practice what you preach, and preach what you practice. You cannot be a Christian and just walk the walk. You have to also talk the talk. You've got to do both. But the world needs us to hold on to the Word of God and do it in our lives, and it needs us to hold it out. Hold forth. If I'm a star up there in the black universe, I'm holding forth the light. Correct? That's what God wants us to do. We've got to live it, and we've got to not conceal it. Give me the Bible. Don't look at it. The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. No, we hold it out, don't we? In my hand I hold a book, and the book is called the Bible. Remember that song? What do we do with the kids? Hold your Bible up. Hold it forth. That's what he's calling us to do. And you may think, why are you being so simple about that? Because we're not doing it. We got dusty Bibles on coffee tables. We don't crack them open. We don't read them. We don't obey them. We don't practice them. And we don't share it. If you do, good. If you don't, the world will not be influenced for Jesus if you don't do that. Be proud of who you are. Be proud of the God who gave you this word. It is the best thing that you could give anybody else. Do I wish there was a cure for cancer? Yes, I do. Do I wish there was a way to get rid of some of these viruses and all that stuff? Yes, I do. But the most important thing in the world are the souls of men. And we have the remedy. We have the message. We have forgiveness. We got it. What are we going to do about it? Hold it steadfastly. Be faithful with the responsibility you have with His Word and hold it out to the world. He says, so that I may not have run or labored in vain. Because he wanted to be a sacrifice. In fact, in Timothy, he says, I'm being poured out like a drink offering. My time is about to end. It's done. Let your light shine. Peter Marshall was for a long time a chaplain to the U.S. Senate. There's a book of lessons and sermon, different things he gave, called Keeper of the Spring. He's kind of connected with this story, often attributed to this story that was told called The Keeper of the Spring. And basically the story goes like this. The city in Austria was a city that attracted a lot of visitors. It was fed by some springs up in the mountains, and they knew they had to keep the water clean, so they hired a guy called the Keeper of the Spring. He would go up in the mountains, he would remove leaves, trash, debris, things to keep the streams clean and clear and unpolluted, and the city would enjoy fresh water and different wildlife and things like that prospered there. And it was a beautiful place. Restaurants were built. Hotels were built. And they got a city council. And at one meeting, they decided, we're paying too much for this. Who is this on the budget? Keeper of the Spring. Cut that guy out. We don't need him. So they let him go. He didn't do his job anymore. And the water and the trash and all this pollutants began to build up. And the water began to smell. And the water began to get more and more polluted, and people began to get sick when they swam in the water, and a lot of the fish began to die, and a lot of the wildlife quit coming, and people quit coming, and they found themselves in a bad spot, and they repented of their decision, and they rehired the Keeper of the Spring. Well, guess what? The message of the Bible is we are the keepers of the spring. We make a difference in the world. Don't sit down. Stand up. Leave a footprint. Several years ago, there was an admiral. It was on a Mad Money episode on CNBC. He was addressing soldiers, and he was talking about, you know, we talk a lot about legacy, and he talked about leaving your footprint. What does that mean? It means making a difference. We are people that should be driven to make a difference. How do we do that? in this lesson today, we've seen we can make a footprint. And he's given us five toes on this foot. Be willing. Be sacrificial. Be cheerful. Be blameless, above reproach, innocent, without blemish. And the last one, be steadfast. Hold to the Word of God and hold forth the Word of God. And what do you need to do to make a footprint? You got to put your foot. If I ask Ava, she was at gymnastics the other night and they let them use chalk for the first time. So she came over to me for a water break. She got chalk on her hands. What's the first thing she does? There's a window right there. Pop, pop, pop. There's handprints all over the place, right? She's leaving her mark. That's what he wants us to do. But a lot of people come to church, and guess what their attitude is? I want to put my feet up. I want to put my feet up. I want somebody to speak to me, make me feel good. I want the songs to move me. I want the church to do things for me. They want to put their feet up. Christians don't put their feet up. Christians put their foot down. Christians leave a mark. Don't put your feet up. Put your foot down. Well, how do you do that? I'm pointing back there. I think that's the first time I pointed at y'all. Sorry, it's rude to point. I apologize. Anyway, put your foot down. How do you do that? He gives us a message you can take home. How to let your light shine. Let it shine. Put your foot down. We have a light to shine. Is the world seeing it? The world's watching. What are they seeing? I don't want them to see this. I want them to see this. Don't let Satan get out. Don't hide it under a bushel. Let your light shine. Children can get that message and put it into practice. What about you? What about me? It all begins with that commitment to Jesus. And today, if you're not a believer, if you haven't been baptized into Christ for remission of your sins, we'd love to study with you. And especially if you're at the point where you're ready to make that commitment to Jesus, we encourage you not to wait a single second because eternity depends on it. Or maybe you need to repent and change because you have not been letting your light shine. You've dimmed all your lights. You've been living for yourself. And you need to make changes, and people need to know about that, because everybody's aware of it. Let today be the day that you rededicate yourself to Christ. Or maybe you want to place membership at a church. This is a church we're going to push to be disciples of Jesus as we stand and sing.
Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee, promise thee my life. supper this morning, I'm going to be reading from Isaiah 53, 1 through 7. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of men.
A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their face. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging, we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. I want to bring to our attention some things that we're told in 1 Corinthians 11 about the Lord's Supper and how we are to take it. So when we take the Lord's Supper, we're proclaiming his death until he comes. And we're told that we should take the Lord's Supper in a worthy manner. If we don't take the Lord's Supper in a worthy manner, we're guilty regarding the body and the blood of Christ. So part of taking that Lord's Supper in a worthy manner is we're told to examine ourselves. So, as we take the Lord's Supper, before we even drink, we need to examine our hearts, take notice of any sin that we may be holding on to, begin to deal with that sin, and remember the sacrifice that Christ made for us. So after each prayer, we'll have a moment of silence. Let's use that moment to reflect on Christ and to examine ourselves. So pray with me if you will. Heavenly Father, as we prepare to take the Lord's Supper, we ask that you would be with us, that you would help us to focus our minds, that you would help us to remember your sacrifice, and that we would examine ourselves rightly, and that we would see where we're not pleasing you. We ask that as we take this bread, we would do those things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Pray with me once more for the cup. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, whose blood was shed in our stead. And we ask that as we drink of this cup, that we would do so in a worthy manner, remembering the sacrifice that Christ made and also examining our own selves. We pray this in Jesus' name. Thank you. Pray with me once more as we close out the Lord's Supper. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, the sacrifice he made for us, so that we can be a part of your kingdom, even though we are unworthy, and we are sinners. We ask that you would help us to reflect your light, the light of Jesus, that you would help us to spread your love, to do so in a way that attracts people to you and gives you glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you would please stand.
Okay, now is the time during the worship service for giving. I want to thank the congregation for generously giving back a portion of their blessings to help further God's plan. If you've not given, there's a box in the foyer. You can put your money in there. There's a slot in the door, or you can always mail it in to us. Remember, God loves a cheerful giver. Let's go to our Father in heaven for a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for being our God, for loving us and giving us everything we need. We have nothing without you. Please help us give a portion of our blessings back to you. and help us do it with a cheerful heart. Please give the elders wisdom to spend the money wisely and in a manner pleasing to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.